Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike to take you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and we're live from the brand new Rouses Market, 2384 Pass Road in Biloxi. Come on by and visit us. A beautiful facility they have here in Biloxi. And all of us made, except for one, made the trip to the other Rouses right up the road. But, man, this is a brand new and beautiful facility. So come make some groceries. Come talk a little football with us. And part of the sales they have here is boneless pork loin halves. Only $1.77 a pound. Baba, we had started talking about Tulane.
Yeah, at the top of the hour.
Great job with John Sumrall has done there for them. And they can beat you. You want to play small ball with them, they can do that. And also, if you want to get in a kind of a shoot match they're willing to do that,
and, you know, it's a shame that game. I think they got ripped off against Kansas State.
I agree.
And then, but it would have taken where Tulane right now to be, I don't know, I look at the postseason realistically, that beat Kansas State and Oklahoma. Oklahoma's not very good, but then Kansas State, I thought they got ripped off. Oklahoma, not so much how they finished that game. But if you look at where they're at right now, it's going to come down to a two-game season. You look at the strength of the schedule. Tulane will likely have to beat Navy on the road in Memphis at home 12 days later to reach the AAC title game. And you look, Memphis is going to score. And so you might be in a shootout type game. And then you look at Navy playing pretty stout, and but they didn't do so much against the Irish. Against Notre Dame,
you got outmanned.
Yeah, yeah, in that game. But, Mike, you're talking about a man, Mekhi Hughes, the running back. And like I was saying at the top of the hour, he wanted to rush for 1,500 yards. He's right there to be in this neighborhood of Matt Forte and Tyjae Spears. He would have to maintain a pace of about 1,520 yards a game finishing out. But to show you how explosive he is, 11th 100-yard performance in 14 career conference games. He's had 1,100-yard type games. And over the last three games in the 12-day span, he's had 27, 30 carries and 27 carries in 12 days. Now, that's a workhorse. I'm not talking about 17, 20, and 17, though. 27, 30, and 27 carries in 12 days. I'm like, that's a modern-day workout horse for
you don't see that a lot.
A running back.
At college or in the pros. You don't see that much.
No, and Tulane really dictated. I watched that game Thursday night. I watched the beginning, then I watched some of the second half. I didn't watch the complete game, but University of North Carolina, Charlotte, the 49ers. No, the Tulane was just way better than them. And they really set the tone at the beginning. Now, ultimately, you want to get touchdowns instead of field goals. Mike, they had a 20-play drive that ate up 11 minutes on the opening.
And
it was 3-0 on the 11-minute drive. So, that's when now it was a short week for Tulane, but they definitely were the tougher team. But it'll be interesting to see. I'm intrigued what they're going to do against Navy and Memphis. And then from a local flavor, looking at today on the schedule, and they just kicked off right here at 3 o'clock or a little after, Stephen F. Austin at Nicholls State and Southeastern Lions at Lamar in Beaumont, Texas.
Man, Southeastern can put some points on the board. I give Coach Selfel, man, he's built this team. And he told us that before the season.
Well, Mike,
I think we'll be really good on offense. He said there's some pieces on defense we need to get better.
Well, in Cornet Word, I want to say they ranked 7th or 8th in the nation. And Southeastern was right there. They lost 31-28, and they were trying with a 58-yard field goal to send in overtime. But they still were right there compared to maybe when Nichols had played it.
Cornet Word blew Nichols off.
But, Mike, you look at I thought this was interesting. Now, he's 2nd in FCS. You probably know about him. The Southeastern receiver, Darius Lewis, is 2nd in the FCS with 62 receptions and has a team-high 539 yards. It must be the 62 receptions that he's 2nd in the country.
Yes.
And losing the Cornet Word. Now, if you look at Lamar, who they play, and Lamar's like Stephen F. Austin, that you better come to play or you're going to end up coming away with a loss.
Lamar is when you catch him.
Yeah, Lamar.
Because sometimes they really play well, and other times not so much.
Lamar just beat Northwestern State 42-10. Now they've won two straight. Now, Mike, I'm looking at also Southeastern running back Antonio Martin needs 8 yards to reach the 1,000-yard mark. Then you got Lamar's Colin Griffin is 2nd to Southeastern's Antonio Martin in the Southland Conference with 892 yards rushing. So I think you got two workhorse running backs, that means Southeast and Lamar, to see who's going to come out on top and win that battle.
And with Nichols, you know they want to run the football. Man, they got three running backs. Colin Guggenheim gets a lot of ink, and he deserves
right.
it. But they got a couple other guys that can tote the rock, too.
Now, Mike, this is interesting. How you pronounce his name, a linebacker, Jake Delmato?
Delmato.
He had 7 sacks in the past 2 games. So that means they're doing maybe the right stunts. That's like we're doing the right stunts for Alante Taylor with the Saints to get sacks. But he ranks 1st in the Southland Conference and 2nd nationally in the FCS. He has 9 sacks, and right now that's 2nd in the nation. But when you look at the Lumberjacks, Mike, they got a pretty good quarterback, threw for 316 yards and a career high 5 touchdowns against Houston Christian. Now, you know, look at the series here. Stephen F. has won 25 times. Nichols has only won 11. But Nichols State has won 4 straight in the series. Yep. So I think Coach Rebo makes a difference.
Yeah, I think
he does. You know, when you look at that.
The great story with Jake Delmato is I was at one of the practices. And, man, he was playing running back for him. He was a backup.
And he wanted to get in the field, though, right?
He wanted to get on the field. And so, you know, Coach Rebo was telling me, he said, Mike, you know, I think we're going to convert the running back, Jake Delmato, to a linebacker. So I went back a couple weeks later, and I said, hi, it's working out. And he's like, yeah, I think it's working out pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Come on, you're amongst the nation leaders. He right there ranked 1st in the Southland Conference, 2nd in the nation with 9 sacks. And my God, the local interest, you know, we always get like Southern or Grambling. Southern's at Alabama, A&M. Now, Southern has won the past 8 meetings, and the Jaguars haven't been to Huntsville, where Alabama A&M's at, since 2016. But Southern has the SWAC's number one pass defense. Southern has to give. Southern has the number one SWAC pass defense, and Alabama A&M the top passing offense. So who's going to win? I would tend to go with the defense over the offense, or you go vice versa?
To me, in today's game, years ago, I would have definitely went with the defense.
But now, today, man,
they can hit you so many. And, Bobby, it gets to the point of pressure because you can't cover forever.
Well, it's almost like a pickup. Southern's a 2.5-point favorite against Alabama A&M, so that'll be interesting.
Bob, if Charlie Long, if you listen and cover your ears now, because we're going to talk a little bit of baseball, but the Dodgers winning the World Series, and you talk about it in dramatic fashion. Man, Freddie Freeman was unbelievable in that series. Up against the Yankees, and
Freddie Freeman is the new modern day Mr. October.
I agree.
It ain't no Judge and no Ohtani and nothing. Freddie Freeman. Now think about what he did. Now this is like, you know, you might say, well, you have the regular season, you're a major leaguer, but then what do you do truly in the postseason? Mike, I don't know if anybody will ever do this. He has all these records. He has the first four games. Nobody's ever done this. His first four World Series games, he hit a home run with the Braves and now with the Dodgers. And then he made it six straight. So his first four, nobody's ever done that. Then he's done it six straight games at home run in the World Series. And then I want to say in the series, he's had the most RBIs with 12. I mean, you want to talk about...
Talk about storybook. That's it.
It was a no-brainer who's going to be the MVP.
And, you know, his mom passes away in the spring with cancer. And, you know, and man, the guy...
He's a warrior.
And he could barely walk. When he hit the home run, he sort of walks like me. I'll be honest. And listen, that's not good. It's not a good comparison, but well, he was sort of hobbling.
Well, to look at the Dodgers where they're at, and Ohtani helped him get there. The Dodgers were the best team. They deserved to win. But his historic, I remember we talking about this in late summer and all that, historic 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases. The franchise is 11th, that being the Dodgers National League West title. Now, you can win the West, but are you winning the World Series? Kind of like the Braves, when they were winning all those championships, but not the World Series. But you look at the Dodgers winning their 12th title in 12 seasons, the best record in the majors. And you know, at one time, if you followed the playoffs this year, the postseason, I didn't know this was going to happen. They trailed their rival, the San Diego Padres, 2-1 in the division series.
Yep.
And then they rallied to win in five games. Now, they were pushed to six games in the NL Championship Series against the Mets before they advanced. But, you know, Freeman, this was something we'd see for even two decades from now or even plus. He delivered that first, again, another record, the first walk-off Grand Slam in World Series history. And then you looked in the 7-6 victory over the Yankees to close out the series in five games. Now, no one, and Coach Roberts, their manager, I'm sure he said there's going to be no asterisk on this one. They go, Bob, what are you talking about? You remember after winning a neutral site World Series against the Tampa Bay Rays in 2020, and they were denied a parade because of the pandemic and all that. Well, they actually... Downtown, they got to hold their parade yesterday, Friday, and, you know, it was just good karma, which would have been also Fernando Valenzuela's 64th birthday. And, you know, he was the 1981 National League Cy Young Award winner, Rookie of the Year winner, and he had died last week.
Yep.
So, Mike, just good karma. Boy, talk about a Mexican hero, a Mexican sports hero.
Okay,
it didn't get any better.
Okay, we were in our 20s.
Yes.
Okay, and we saw him. Man, Fernando, and they didn't have all these hundreds of cable channels, but here's when you know you made it. I told this to Charlie. They were doing CBS National News, NBC National News, ABC National News on Fernando. And how I knew he really made it, because he'd go to a lot of Dodger games, but every time Fernando would pitch, he was there. Frank Sinatra.
Oh,
Frank wanted to watch Fernando pitch, and he was there. Every game, Valenzuela pitch, he was there.
And the Dodgers recognizing him with his birthday, being able to have the World Series parade, he would have been 64 years of age.
And they had some hard feelings for a while. They made up, but you know, it was a little bit of hard feelings. Sort of like Eric Martin.
Yeah. When
sort
you think
like
you're going to be a lifer, and then when you're going to get rid of me because I'm old? Yeah, that's everybody gets old. That's the nature of the beast. You can't take it to heart. You have to realize this is the way business is.
That's what it is.
Now, you know, it was comical and monumental meltdown. How about them Yankees? A comedy of errors. You look at game five watching the Dodgers celebrate in New York or winning that championship. Mike, those three errors, catcher's interference call, a balk, a pitcher failing to cover first base. How about Judge not being able to field the ball? It looked like a little league team made the errors that they were making. Mike, all of a sudden, you know, it looks like the Yankees are going to, they're gonna go back to L.A.
One.
They're up 5-0. Before you know it, if you just went go
almost
do something.
Almost a blink of the eye.
Now it's 5-5. I go, what the hell? Then I started watching the game again. But if you look at the Yankees, 15 years now without winning the World Series is their third longest drought in franchise history behind the first 20 seasons. Now, 1903 to 1922, that was the number one drought. And then 17 from 1979 to 1995. So that was 17 years. So now it's 15. So, you know, so what do? You fire Boone? Do you fire?
Well, most Yankee fans would like to do it.
Yeah, so when you look at that.
Yes, indeed.
And then you look, you know, what are you doing in October and what is going to count there? Judge, you know, he's likely to win his second AL MVP after hitting 58 home runs. But, Mike, he slumped to 184 batting average with three homers and nine RBIs in 14 postseason games. So Judge had come out big. Now, Otani, maybe because his shoulder, maybe had a little excuse and all that. But
he's still good, though.
They're both still good. But the guy who's missed October is Freddie Freeman.
So I get on Charlie's nerves. I said, man, Charlie, I heard the Dodgers might sign Juan Soto in the offseason. What?
Oh, the rich getting richer. You know how that.
The Dodgers got money. They got money to burn.
I forgot. I didn't save it, but I read somewhere that you think, obviously, the Mets, across town Yankees, and then you got the Dodgers. But, Mike, also, even I was interested, even like they said, the Red Sox or the Padres, but there wasn't just one or two. There was probably, like, because he said, I'm a mercenary, I'm a hard gun. There was like six, seven teams that he said, no, they might put up the money and pay him $500 million plus to come to
Juan team. Soto is going to get paid big time. We'll be back live here from the brand new Rouses in Biloxi, 2384 Pass Road. Come on by and visit us. Mike Dottiglio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And when we return, we'll have Jim Derry on with us from Datitude Podcast, talking Saints, LSU, Tulane right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk. Mike Dottiglio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the brand new Rouses Market, 2384 Pass Road in Biloxi. Get 1 gallon of Rouses vegetable oil for $7.99 at any of the Rouses. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, you can watch him on the Data Podcast, is Mr. Jim Derry. Jim, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good, Mike, Bobby. I heard y'all talking about the Yankees a few minutes ago. You think Aaron Boone could coach the Saints? I'm just, you know.
Jim, you done stirred the pot.
It'd be like, that's why you can't just get the Super Bowl. You got to win it. And, you know, Yankee fans.
I'll put it to you this way. If the boss man was still alive, Steinbrenner.
Yeah, the old man. George,
He wouldn't be that today. Already. Yeah. He'd already been gone.
George was one of them. Billy Barton said it, that he can't spell patience, much less be patient. So it was really good.
Mike, how many times did he bring back Billy Martin? About eight, seven,
four.
Eight.
Four.
Yeah, no, I'm a
four
fire. Times. Bring him back.
Four
times. Yeah. There's a lot of passion, a lot of emotion there.
Yeah, he let that pass. Bother him. The best one was he fires him, and then they have an old-timers game, and Billy runs out, and he's the manager for the next year. It's like, what's going on? But that was George being George. Jim.
You know what, he won a lot of championships. So you can make fun of him, but, you know, he knows how to win.
Yeah, he did. Jim, taking a look at the Saints season, I think – this is kind of what you thought early on. I remember doing the podcast with you. I thought this would be an 8-win team stuck in purgatory. But they played even worse than that. The first two games, you were like, wait a minute. This can't be real.
Everybody's singing black and gold in the Super Bowl.
And then after that, right off Mount Everest.
Well, I'm going to take something. I'm going to give you credit for it, Mike, because it's something you told me years ago. Okay, the most important player on your offense might not be your quarterback. It might be your center. And what happened when Eric McCoy went down? What happened when Eric McCoy went down? It's a completely different football team. Even when they won, even when they were close against Philadelphia, even when they should have beat Atlanta or whatever, you didn't have your center. They weren't scoring 40 points in those games. So, that's what I go back to. And I think people don't realize how important Eric McCoy is to this football team. And it's just not – look, you can stink on the offensive line and cover up maybe one spot, maybe even two, but you can't cover up not having a center. And I think that's what they miss more than anything.
I think right now he's the best football player on this team. Now, Fuaga has a chance to be in that category with Eric – as a very good NFL player.
Get more skins in the wall.
The thought process, too, on defense, Jim, I'll get your thoughts on this. Why have they had so much difficulty stopping the run? That was something early on with Dennis Allen. Even when he was a defensive coordinator and as a head coach, they were able to stop the run. Man, that hasn't been the case. And teams have gashed them running the football.
Well, it has to be the personnel because the front seven, I don't know, it's not the scheme that really changes, the personnel. Like when Onyemata and all back with that, they were stopping the run.
Chai Tuttle. Jim?
And Bobby, that's exactly it. I mean, to me, it's the front seven, and you're just not getting the production from. I had this picture last week of Herbert running down the field for 38 yards and Cam Jordan chasing him from way behind. I love Cam Jordan to death. He's in the Mount Rushmore of Saints, but look, he just can't do it anymore. And these linebackers are just not getting – look, I love Pete Warren. I think he's playing well when he's healthy. But I don't think he's getting enough help, and there's just not enough players along the front that are doing what they're supposed to. Chase Young, you paid him $13 million to do what? And it's just to the point where, Bobby said personnel, and I agree 100%, and they're just not getting the job done. Carl Granderson can only do so much. Pete Werner can only do so much. And, when Cam Jordan's get to that age, DeMario Davis is definitely taking a step back as well. And if you can't stop him up front, you got nothing.
Yeah, and then when they get in the secondary, we're not swarming the football. So it's one-on-one tackling, the DBs, the missed tackles. I mean, that was embarrassing against Tampa Bay. I mean, we're not trying to grab the flag or two-hand touch.
Right.
I mean, that one touchdown by Chris Godwin, that was humiliating.
Now, if you're playing flag football, he scores.
That's what's puzzling. And to me, it shouldn't be puzzling because, they're paying these players so much money. And no one – now, if you're a pro, you should know how to tackle. But no one practices tackling anymore. If you go to practice,
they don't do any of that.
Right. And so sometimes, I'm not surprised they don't. You can go tackle a dummy, but it's not like tackling a player. But then you worried about,
shoulder injury.
Yeah, then all of a sudden you had a tough practice. Well, in the old days, maybe you used to go live, but you didn't have all this money involved. And then so you'd have live practices, but now you can't even do that because if a player gets hurt, then you got to compensate him and he's not available. So I don't know what you do about the tackling. I think it's one, two. A lot of times you keep trying to strip out the ball like with a Debo and whatnot, but, tackle him, then punch out the ball due to Peanut Tillman, peanut punch.
And Kool-Aid is trying to do the exact same thing. And I saw him whiff at least three times of trying to punch the ball out. Jim, where do we go from here? Because this season's going to play out. It's going to be a non-winning season. But where do you take it from there?
Well, I have a question for Bobby that relates to this. What I have seen is it just seems like there's a lack of heart almost. It's like things snowballed and they just kind of disappeared for 3 weeks. And I know, you as a former player, you guys hate when we talk about, don't tell me I'm not trying or anything. But sometimes it looks like the defense out there, I'm not necessarily talking about the offense. They've had their issues with personnel and all that. But it just seems to me on the defensive side of the football, it's almost like they've given up on their coach to a certain extent. But yeah, and I know y'all hate that.
Well, and Dennis Allen don't have the personality of a Sean Payton. I'm not saying Dennis Allen's all buddy-buddy, just friends with the players. But you see some players making, I don't know, the game might be out of hand, executive decision almost like how hard are you playing or am I saving myself? But you better be really talented if you're saving yourself because they'll get rid of you and get someone else. The individual I bring up, now I'm just speculating with that, do you think if a couple of times, and I know this happened even in the past, that if the game's close, Marshawn Lattimore, all of a sudden my hamstring, and he comes out
exactly.
The game. Look at the chart.
Well, he's the number one guy. He's the number
right.
one guy that I'm talking about.
Right, and he's like, you know? Man, I don't know. That's why.
And he knows 31 other teams would grab him in a heartbeat.
Right, so I think.
Because he's that good.
So I think that when things are going well, yeah, he wants to, and he can fight and be amongst the best. But when things aren't going well, he's not going to lead the other, motivate the other guys on the team.
Nope.
And so, that is, that's frustrating because when it starts snowballing in the opposite direction and you start losing, and I don't know, are we going to beat Carolina? Like Mike was saying, where Carolina's saying, well, maybe this is a chance for us to win.
Jim, I did three shows in Charlotte this week. Every one of them had it somewhere in the show. This is our chance to win a second game.
Yeah.
Because we might not have this chance again.
And even though the Saints crushed them, and it wasn't that long ago, but and I look at it from a Saints perspective. I mean, look how bad Carolina is. They either, like, you know, not just one category. Like, it's almost a handful. You look, either they last or one before last. Like, scoring defense, they dead last. They can't stop the run, dead last. Total defense, they won before last. So you can just go on, and it's like, you know, the Saints are at the bottom right now. They're at the bottom, but if you lose to Carolina, you're at the rock bottom.
We talk about hard, and I do think this. I do think that they will be rejuvenated somewhat with Derek Carr coming back. I do think that's going to make a difference for them tomorrow. So I do think you'll see them play. I don't know if you want to inspired is the right word, but I do think you'll see a different football team tomorrow. So that's why I do give the Saints an edge. I don't. 7 points seems like a lot of points to me. I don't know if I would give the 7 points, but I do think the Saints will play a different kind of football. And look, if you can't win tomorrow, I mean – I just, you asked me, Mike, where the season goes from here. If they can't win tomorrow, it goes to even, I mean, it's already kind of hell in a handbasket, right? I mean, it just goes into the abyss. It can't get much worse. I think we're talking like 1999 again. We're talking like Katrina year again. I mean, that's where this season goes if they can't win this football game tomorrow. So, I mean, they either get fired up with Derek Carr coming back or it's going to be a long, long couple months.
Well, you know what? I'm hoping. You let Little Bryce, don't knock out Little Bryce, let him play. Don't let Andy Dalton come in the game because I'm telling you, Andy Dalton can figure out maybe the beat.
It was one of the strangest things I've heard on a team, and this comes from the very top. I'm convinced David Tepper's pulling every string on this team.
To try and make Bryce
okay,
play?
Dalton is at a full practice for the 3 days. They interview him the Thursday, and he's like, I've been practicing all week. I'm good to go.
Because he had hurt his thumb in a car wreck
right.
or something?
Yeah. And he said, but I'm not going to play in this game at all. This is Bryce's game. My thing is, what? Are you kidding me? Why would your backup quarterback say that unless Dave Canales has told him the boss man wants Bryce to play?
I guess they want to see what they got.
Because remember, it was Tepper who pushed for Bryce C.J. Stroud.
And you look, one of their strengths coming into the season, and now, you know, you never want to be snake bit or injured at one particular position, whether it be interior line or the offensive line in general. Look at our secondary. Now, and we're not necessarily finishing the deal with sacks with the pass rush, but boy, talk about us getting hit in the secondary. We already without starting outside corner Paulson Adebo. Now, he broke his femur against the Broncos. He's out. Now, three more corners did not participate. You know, look at the practice. Lattimore, his hamstring. Rico Payton, who they'd want to maybe give an opportunity. His back's jacked up. And then you got Kool-Aid McKinstry. Him and Lattimore, they both out. Now, Mike, am I understanding with Kool-Aid, for sure he's out with his hamstring like Lattimore. Then you left with one healthy cornerback, Alante Taylor, who's been the nickel. Now you're going to put him on the outside. And then so who are you truly activating? You got Ugo. He provided depth of both slot corner and safety. So, okay, you're the slot corner. And then they signed veteran Hernan to the practice squad early.
Trey Herndon.
Yeah, so where he's at.
And then Shamir John Charles is also brought back.
So I'm saying if Bryce does not have success
against that secondary.
Yeah, and then you got another safety with Roderick Teamer. Yeah, so I think for Bryce's sake, it's not like, oh, well, look at the Saints secondary, how dominant they are. No, the only one that we have is Alante Taylor that would be starting off.
Jim, they got to stop the run tomorrow because I think that's the only chance for the Panthers.
With Chuba Hubbard. He can go.
If they can't stop the run against this team, Mike and Bobby, I don't know who they're going to stop the run against. So you talk about Chuba Hubbard. Sure, he's a decent running back. But, I mean, every team's got one decent running back. I mean, this team can't run the football either. They can't do anything. So, I mean, if you can't stop this team, but at the same time, if Bryce Young can't get it done against the 32nd-ranked defense that has all those issues that you talked about in the secondary, then who's he going to be able to do it against? So I guess maybe it is that kind of game. But I would just thought that Andy Dalton would have wanted to play in a revenge game. You got another one coming up in 2 weeks when Jameis Winston comes to the Superdome. So I just thought that the Panthers would want to give Dalton kind of a treat and say, here you go. But I guess if you throw him out there and he does well, then you can't play Bryce Young anymore.
Yeah, and that, I think, comes from the boss. So, Jim, what would you rather have running your team? He's a live wire, no insulation, David Tepper, every day. Yeah. And you don't know what you're going to catch. Man, I got a couple of stories that he gets all upset.
He's worse than Jerry Jones.
He gets upset if you're on the
field. Who would want to play for him, Mike?
That's the deal. You got somebody on the field 2.5 hours before the game, and they want him to get off. This is my field. You can't stand on my field 2 inches. And he gets all upset with it. He throws a drink at a fan. He goes into a restaurant that says, let your general manager and head coach do the picking. The owner shouldn't be there. He goes in there and confront the owner of the restaurant. Or would you rather have – no, Miss Benson is one thing. Because she lets everybody kind of do their job.
You hire the right people
to do their job. And she does have a concern for the team. I got no doubt of that. So does Tepper. But look at the difference in personalities that's in the NFL. Now, again, they both billionaires. Tepper got a few more nickels than Ms. Gail Benson. But, man, how would you like to be covering that team? The one thing for sure, they bad, but they ain't boring.
Well, and like Mike was saying, with Tepper, he can't handle that. He can't turn instant fix. He's made all this money and all that, but he can't all of a sudden. I know how to run an NFL team. And
so
they can
move
win.
Out of my way.
Yeah, and he doesn't know.
So, Jim, I'll let you last word on that one.
Well, I will say this. I mean, I had some knuckleheads talking stuff about Miss Gale this week, and I shut them down in a hurry because, look, Where would the Saints be if Miss Gale, if she decides to put this team up for sale? What happens? They're not staying in New Orleans. They're going somewhere else. I mean, nobody in this city or around here can afford to keep them in New Orleans. So, I mean, you better wake up every morning and thank God and, you know, pray for Miss Gale because I'm worried what happens when she's gone. So, I mean, we want to keep the Saints in New Orleans. I'll take her every day and any day over David Tepper, who's clearly the worst owner in the NFL.
Man. Well, I'm going to leave you with this, Mike. I'm looking at the glass half full instead of half empty. Okay, all I know is this is good. Derek Carr is 5-0 in 5 career starts versus Carolina. So can he make it 6-0? And the Saints are on a 3-game winning streak. So can we make it 4 games? So Derek Carr and the Saints, we've had the Panthers.
So that's positive news. Yeah. We got that going for us.
We got that momentum going. And the one thing, our best player right now, I wish he was a little younger now, he's going to be back because they paid him, Alvin Kamara. Now, I didn't realize this because, you know, I like NFL history. You look in week 8, it was his 22nd career game with 50-plus rushing yards and 50-plus receiving yards. The fifth most such games in NFL history, number 5. Now, that's NFL history. Now, he has 545 career catches and can surpass the great Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk is at 548. So he's at 545 for the most catches by a running back in the first eight career seasons of his career. So think how great Marshall Faulk is. Do we appreciate sometimes Alvin Kamara? Because I know if they block for him, look at the first two games, I think he can still run. He knows where to go. So I just
the problem is the blocking.
I thought that was interesting. You know how everyone thinks of Marshall Faulk, the Hall of Famer, and how explosive he was. Alvin Kamara is only three receptions for most catches by a running back, only three below in the first eight seasons. So Kamara's in that kind of category.
Jim, thanks so much for joining us.
Go ahead, I'm glad to do it, Mike. And just real quick, when you have 3.5 seasons like we've had, I mean, sometimes you underappreciate guys who are franchise players, and that's what Alvin Kamara is.
Jim, thanks so much for joining us. Tell everybody how they can hear you.
The Attitude Podcast is live every weekday morning except Tuesday on YouTube. You can find it. It's Attitude with a D in front of it, Dattitude Podcast on YouTube. Thank
you.
So
you take Tuesday off? What? Come on, you got to work on Tuesday.
I take Tuesday off because I work Saturday and Sunday, Mike.
All right. I think I know, and maybe even sometimes Friday, because I know one of the guys that sometimes works with you. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it, buddy.
All right, Jim.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
All righty. We'll be back with more from the brand new Rouses in Biloxi right here on the Big 870 WWL. We have 2384 Pass Road in Biloxi. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to a special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from the brand new Rouses, 2384 Pass Road in Biloxi. Mike Dottiglio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're taking this till 4 o'clock this afternoon. Bobby, we were talking with Jim certainly about the Saints. And, again, it was so funny in doing the shows in Charlotte about, man, it's so bad here. Things are so bad, you know. But, you know, it's not boring because Tepper, every day you're not sure what he's doing behind the scenes. How much patience will he have with Dave Canales and Dan Morgan, who's the new GM that they brought in, who played a little while with the Saints, but
he was a linebacker. Yeah, he's a hard nose boy. He knock a snot bubble in you. I think he kind of retired early, Mike,
because of concussions.
Right.
But you know, you look at the NFC South, and you see Tampa how they've quietly rebuilt with mainly through the draft. I think they have every draft choice they've selected over the last 3 years is on the roster today.
They've done it right.
And this was a team who had Tom Brady, and they had Gronk, and they had Ndamukong Suh. They had a whole bunch of older guys. That's not the case anymore.
Well, Mike, and I think like you said in the summer, everybody's on the Atlanta bandwagon.
Tampa until the injuries.
Until the injuries, yeah. With Chris Godwin and when Mike Evans is going to come back. But yeah, I'd say the Falcons in the driver's seat.
Can their defense hold up?
Yeah.
I think they can score, but their defense isn't very good
at all. And to show you, Carolina, Mike, where they're at, and you look at their trade deadline, the Panthers, they're going to be without wide receiver Deontay Johnson, who was traded to Baltimore, I think, this past Tuesday, along with a sixth-round pick in 2025. Now, the Panthers receive only the Ravens' fifth round the next year in return. And you look, the Panthers, Carolina was very eager to move on from Johnson.
You know why? Man, I can't play all 11 positions. I can only play mine. And, you know, who's to blame for that? So he took his shot at Tepper in that deal.
Was, okay, we're trading.
And David was, hey, forget it. You out of here. Well, you're not going to criticize me.
Well, that didn't help Bryce out, though, as you know, him being a receiver. I mean, Deontay Johnson now. So you look at the Panthers right now, they're hoping, I guess, veteran wide receiver Adam Thielen. Now, I think he's returning this week after missing the last 5 weeks with a hamstring injury. So, Mike, you look at the weapons. Now, hopefully little Bryce will have this kind of game against the Saints. You know, now when you think about where he was drafted, Mike, 2023 draft, number one pick. In week one, he was 13 of 30 for 161 yards, a couple of interceptions in the Superdome. And, Mike, the very first play, remember Will Harris picked him off? So if he does that again, shame on the Saints if they don't win.
The crazy thing about
it. That's what I said. We don't want to knock him out. Keep him in the game. We don't want to put Andy Dalton in there.
Brian Burns, who he really kind of set the tone here that, you know what, this ownership, yeah, he's a multi-billionaire, but he don't want to pay me. So trade me. So they traded him to the Giants. So I think he was upset about that. So what he does, tell Dan Morgan, man, go out and sign me a couple of linemen. So they have invested like $100 million in their two offensive guards.
And the offensive line.
If they have a strength,
Yeah, with Chuba Hubbard, Mike, I think they're going to be fine in that regard as far as Chuba Hubbard being able to run the ball. You know, if you look at it, last week in Week 8, he had 71 scrimmage yards. You know, we always want Alvin Kamara. He's really rolling 120, 125. But he's had 21 games of 50-plus scrimmage yards since 2023. And you look against New Orleans, they're going to give him a chance. He's had 50-plus scrimmage yards in three of the past four games against the Saints. So Chuba Hubbard and Dennis Allen, they know he's going to be a big part of what they're trying to do.
And they now, hope that he practiced the last couple of weeks, but I think he'll maybe be within the next 2 weeks. Jonathan Brooks
from Texas, huh, Mike? Yeah, is he ready to go?
Jonathan, before he got hurt, he was my 23rd best overall player in the draft. Then he tears his ACL. And I knew he wasn't going in round one after that. Nobody's going to pick you.
Well, they haven't said.
So they picked him in round two. He became the first running back selected.
And so they're saying maybe he might be making his debut this week. Is this a game time decision?
No, he will not play this week.
Oh, so he won't play. So, yeah, he hasn't played since he injured his knee, like you said, at Texas. And
man, he tilted the field for the Longhorn. Man, is he a good runner, really good receiver.
So they're going to lean upon Chuba Hubbard then, obviously, tomorrow.
Yep.
You know who's been a disappointment when you talk about running back? And they paid him good, Miles Sanders.
That money deep in his pockets, right. And you didn't see him after he left Philly.
Yeah.
Now, end of story. He had that one big year, and then that was it. They cashed out. But I will say this. The Eagles did make a right choice on the back they got now.
Oh, yes.
Saquon Barkley.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Man. We'll be back. Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettelia, live from the brand new Rouses in Biloxi on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. We're back live from the brand new Rouses in Biloxi. WWL, Mike Dettelia, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Come on down and see this beautiful new Rouses they have. It's at 2384 Pass Road. Great sales here, and man, it's like an auditorium, so to speak. We've seen it before because, Bob, I was telling you, it reminded me a little bit of the Rouses that they have on Martin Luther King in Houma. It's sort of built.
It's massive.
The same way. It is really big in here. Got great deals, and Rouses always take care of people, and we want to thank Marcy Nathan, always great to us here on the Big 870 WWL, and also Donnie Rouse. Bob, I'll get an early pick for you tomorrow. I think the Saints win and they cover.
Oh, that's
now,
a
don't
lot,
ask
that's
me
a lot,
why.
That's a lot of points.
But I think the Saints win and they cover.
I can think the Saints win but don't cover.
Okay.
I mean, as long as they win. Mike, I don't care. We just got to somehow come away with a win.
Okay. How many teams can you remember? They win two games, lose six, and they are 7.5-point favorite on the road.
That shows you how terrible Carolina is. That's what Vegas thinks. That's I've never witnessed that.
I've never seen that before either. Want to thank everybody for listening in on our special edition of WWL Sports Talk, live from the Rouses Markets, 2384 Pass Road in Biloxi. Thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Pre-game coverage, Bobby.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat? Go Saints. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.